Friends, my name is Kevin Keehan.
As Christians, sometimes there are things that I believe that we take for granted. I believe that oftentimes we fail to recognize and then to appreciate the blessings, multiple, innumerable blessings that certainly come forth from God. As we think in regard to our everyday walk of life, sometimes in life figure we might neglect to appreciate truly what it is that we have in Christ and then also the guidance that we have from God through His holy and inspired Word. But also, I believe another aspect that we sometimes fail to appreciate to its fullest is that of prayer. Good people, God has given us an avenue of prayer that we can turn to Him. And in fact, He commands and He wants us to turn to Him on a continual basis and to communicate to Him. He has communicated to us through His holy and inspired Word, and today God expects us to communicate to Him through the avenue of prayer which He has given unto us. Good people, according to what we find in the Bible, prayer is indeed very important. We understand that the prophets of old understood the significance of prayer. These men of God, as they were moved or carried about by the Holy Spirit, as these men were going about speaking unto the children of Israel, speaking and communicating God's message, they understood that they could not communicate. They understood that they could not do the things that God required of them alone, but rather that they were constantly in need of an answer from God. And for that reason, good people, we understand is that they were turning to God on a continual basis for God's guidance and assistance throughout the course of their life. And they understood that whenever they prayed to God and lived their life faithful before God, that God was going to be there and that God was going to give them the answers and that God was going to give them the guidance that not only they needed, but that God's people would continually need in and throughout their walk to be faithful to Him. But also we understand concerning Jesus that Jesus Christ, whenever we look at the totality of His life, Jesus was constantly turning to our God in prayer. In fact, we have the Lord's Prayer in the book of John chapter 17 verses 1 through 21 where Jesus prayed for the major as well as for the minor things that took place in His life. Here in the context of John chapter 17, we understand that Jesus prayed for Himself. He also prayed for the disciples and for the apostles that were currently following Him. But in like figure, Jesus prayed on our behalf. He prayed on those who would believe on Him. We understand also that Jesus prayed in the book of Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 46. He prayed there in the garden, knowing what it was that He was going to go through and realizing that indeed, it was heaven's eternal plan that He die at Calvary's cross for the sins of mankind. And without His death at the cross, He realized that there was not going to be an avenue for the remission of sins. But yet at the same time, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, struggled immensely with going through with it from a personal, from a physical man standpoint. But yet at the same time, we understand is that He prayed to the Father three times that if all possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. Jesus is indeed our example in turning to God in prayer. But also, good people, we understand that the apostles understood the importance of prayer. These men were selected by Jesus Christ. They knew Jesus in a very real and personal way. With the 3 years, approximate 3 years that He spent with them, Jesus loved these men, and these men loved Jesus. And we understand concerning what it was that Jesus was doing with them is that He was training them as they would then therefore be sent forth with the proclamation of the good news of the salvation that would be offered in Him. And a part of that training, these men were looking up to Jesus. And they wanted so much to be able to be like Jesus. And as they listened to Jesus pray on a number of occasions, good people, we understand that they turned to Him and they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. And indeed, Jesus taught them how to pray. And good people, we understand as a result of that, then after His death at the cross, the apostles were constantly turning to God. They knew that they were given the responsibility of the Great Commission. And they realized the enormous task that God had laid upon them came with huge responsibilities and obligations on their part. And in order for them to be successful in reaching out to the degree of which God had commanded them, these men were constantly turning to God in prayer. But also, good people, we understand that the first century church prayed regularly to God. They prayed before they sent Paul and Barnabas out, Acts chapter 13 and verse 3. They prayed before they made major moves within the congregation of which they were responsible for, this being an eldership. But not only the elders, good people, we understand, as is taught in the book of Philippians chapter 1 and verse 19, that the Apostle Paul thanks the saints at Philippi for praying for him. He needed so much, not only him, but every evangelist, anyone working in the field for Christ. These individuals understood that they needed the backing of the saints, that they needed help from God. And therefore, whenever the church was praying on their behalf, the Apostle Paul thanks them for praying that God's going to be there with him, working and doing all that He had commanded him to do as an apostle and as a servant to the Gentiles. As New Testament Christians today, God tells us that we ought to pray daily. And in fact, the people, I draw this from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, where God says that we are to pray without ceasing. And in the context, I do not believe that He's telling us that we need to pray 24 hours, 7 days a week, but rather He says that we need to understand the importance, the significance of prayer, and that we need to constantly, in and throughout the course of our life, but in and throughout also the course of each and every day, turning to God multiple times in and throughout the course of the day, turning to Him and praying to Him, realizing, as those who've gone before us realize, that we need God's guidance, that we need God's help as we go throughout the course of this life. Good people, prayer is indeed vital. We understand concerning prayer that God hears prayers. We understand also concerning all of this is that our prayers can be hindered to the point to where God will not listen or hear our prayers. In all of these things too, though, good people, we understand, as is taught in the context, though, of all things, is that God is everywhere. God sees all things. God hears all things. And this ought to bring us comfort, knowing that whenever we do petition God, whenever we do bow in prayer, that God is attuned to what it is that we have to say, that He does hear us. In fact, we understand, as is taught in the book of Acts chapter 10, verses 1 through 48, concerning Cornelius, that Cornelius, he was separated from God, but yet he was a man who was wanting to know God. And in all of these things, God understood that certainly that if he had the truth, that he would be obedient to the gospel. Why do I say that? Good people, we know that whenever Peter went and taught him the ways of Jesus, that Cornelius and his household responded to that gospel message and that they were baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. God heard Cornelius' prayer. And then also we understand is that God listens. He listened to Cornelius, and good people, he listens to us today. He hears. Proverbs 15 and verse 29, He hears the prayers of the righteous. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22, we can have confidence as children of God, as faithful members of the Lord's church. We can have confidence whenever we bow in prayer that God is listening intently to what it is that we have to say. Why does God listen to what we have to say? Good people, because we are children of God. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26 says that we are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, as a parent has concern for, and as a parent loves and wants to listen to the things that are important and things that are necessary to be communicated by their children. In like figure, our God listens to us. He cares for us. He wants to know what is important to us. He wants to know what it is that we are facing as we go in and throughout the course of our life. And good people, that which excites me, and I know that which also brings each and every one of you great joy in your life, is not only do we have confidence knowing that God hears and that God is listening, but also God answers our prayers. Zechariah 13 and verse 9 tells us this. Also, John chapter 14, verses 13 through 15 assures us that in these things, if we ask anything in His name, in the name of Jesus, and good people not only asking in the name of Jesus, but also living our lives in accordance to the name of Jesus. John chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. We know then that God will indeed do it for us. God will answer our prayers. And today I tell you that the way He answers may not be in the time frame of which we might expect it, but also it may not be in the manner that we are actually ourselves looking for, but rather God tells us, God assures us that He is there and that He is constantly working on our behalf and that He will indeed answer our prayers. Why does God answer our prayers? Good people, in the book of James chapter 5 and verse 16, He says that the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22 says that He answers us. He rewards our prayer life. Why? Because we do those things of which He commands us to do. God hears, and God listens, and God answers our prayers. And what type of prayers ought we to pray to God for? Good people, I believe that we need to be praying to God on an individual as well as from a congregational standpoint, asking for God's healing. I believe in the context of what is taught in the book of James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, is that it could be physical healing or even spiritual healing. In the context, too, when we think in regard to spiritual healing, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. And while we receive the forgiveness of sin in baptism, Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, we understand that we are required to walk in the light as He is in the light, 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 and following. But yet at the same time, you and I realize that we continue to fall short of the glory of God. In fact, in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8, He says that if a man says that he does not sin, he deceives himself and the truth is not in him. In all of these things, we continue then to be sinful in our life. We will displease God. We will not be able to keep His law perfectly. And for that reason, we need individually, and maybe if we've done things in a public realm, to be asking for God's forgiveness in our everyday walk of life. But also, good people, in reference to our physical health. Isn't it wonderful to know that whenever we have things that are taking place in our life, sickness, illness, disease, that we have a God who loves us, our Creator, who is listening and stands ready to answer our prayers. And we have seen that here in this congregation. And not only here in this congregation, universally, and brethren, with brothers and sisters in Christ, who have faced multiple things in their life, and will faithful brothers and sisters offer up prayers on their behalf. Our God is there to heal them. Not in a miraculous sense, but rather through a providential manner, through nature as well as through people that have the ability to work and to work well on His behalf. We need to be praying for the blessings of God. We realize as Christians that the greatest blessings we have, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and following, are in Christ. And we realize, though, that as we go throughout the course of life, is that we cannot make it alone, and for that reason we need to be praying that God will bless us, that God will bless us and protect us, that God will bless us and provide for us. And somebody says, Kevin, isn't that asking God too much? Should we just take it and realize that God's going to provide for us? And wouldn't it be kind of braggadocious, if you would, if we stand and we ask God to help me? Who are we to petition God in that manner? Good people, we must turn to God. God wants us to turn to Him and to realize, James chapter 1 and verse 17, that every good and perfect gift comes down from heaven above, and therefore that we stand in need of His constant blessings poured out upon us. And for this reason, you and I need to be turning to God on a continual basis and asking God to please bless us as we go throughout the course of life. But also, let us not forget to thank God. Let's not forget to thank Him individually for the salvation that we have in Christ. Let's not forget to thank Him for our family. Let's not forget to thank Him today and tomorrow, and in fact, we ought to do this every day, for our freedom that we have here in the United States and those who sacrifice a lot for our freedoms. And let's thank God for all that He is and all that He represents and does for us in our lives. Good people, prayer is indeed vital. But also we understand from the context of Scripture that there are some instructions in regard to prayer. As we pray, the Bible tells us that we are to pray unto the Father. In teaching our kids back in the kids' class in the teenage through college age, I've been identifying that each person or figure of the Godhead has roles that they play in and throughout time, and that they're still involved in playing these roles. Good people, whenever we think in reference to prayer, we need to understand that we need to pray unto the Father. God commands us that as we direct our prayers, that we don't pray to Jesus, that we do not pray to the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Bible tells us very explicitly, very clearly, in very simple terms, that we are to direct our prayers to the Father. And good people, why do we not pray to Jesus? Because the Bible also tells us that we are praying through Jesus. We understand, as is taught by Paul to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, that there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes unto the Father except through me." In John chapter 16 verses 23 and 24, Jesus instructs the apostles. He says, "Up till this point in time, you have asked nothing in my name." Why had they asked nothing in His name or through Him up to this point in time? Good people, because He had not died at the cross, because He had not become the mediator in His death at the cross. However, here in John chapter 16, verse 24, He says, "But when this time has come, you will ask in My name, and the Father will hear, and I will answer." Good people, we need to be praying through Jesus, but also to be praying with the Spirit. And let me explain what I mean by saying this. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, we are to pray in the Spirit. And what do I mean by praying with the Spirit? We are to pray, and in our prayers, according to what is taught in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 14, and Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, that as we pray, the Holy Spirit takes our words and conveys them unto the Father. And there are times that we pray that our minds are all wrapped around maybe a situation that we're going through, an illness, or maybe something going on with a family member, and our words just don't come out right. And maybe you're like me, you don't have to be praying for that to happen. The things that is on our mind, we're just not able to communicate the way that we want to communicate. And the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit takes our words and communicates them to the Father on our behalf. Isn't that beautiful? We pray to the Father through Jesus and with the help of the Holy Spirit as we turn to our God in prayer. Well, what about in the assembly? Not only should we be praying individually, but also God commands that we offer prayers in the assembly as what we have come together today. Good people, the Bible identifies for us on a continual basis that the men are commanded by God to lead always in our worship services. And in this, understand is that not just men, not just anyone can get up and lead us in worship services, and more specifically in reference to praying before God. Those who are baptized members, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, "For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have been clothed in Christ, only those who are baptized and only those who live their life faithful before God ought to lead us in prayer." And somebody says, "Kevin, why should only those who are living their life faithful before God be able to lead us in prayer?" James chapter 5 and verse 16 says, the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man, of the righteous, avails much. Good people, if we're not living our lives, men, if we are not living our lives according to the standards that God has laid down for us, God is not going to listen to our prayers with favor. And for that reason, we need, and for every other reason, you and I need to make certain that we are constantly seeking to live our lives in the direction that God commands us to live, so that when we do stand before the congregation, when we do pray to our God, that God listens to our prayers with favor. But what about women? I find it interesting in the Lord's church today, and I'm cautious to use that terminology because I do not count these people as faithful brethren. But in the Lord's church today, those who call themselves churches of Christ, in some places they are allowing women to lead in services and to lead in prayers and things of that nature in the assembly. However, good people, the Bible tells us very clearly that the women is that they are not to usurp the authority over the male, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, and that they are to learn in silence, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 34, and 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, that they are to understand, to recognize the role that they play in life as well as the role that they take place in here in the assembly. And somebody says, well, Kevin, what does that mean? What can women do if they cannot lead us in service? To say, in the context of our lesson this morning, cannot lead us in prayer. What can they do? The Bible tells us that you participate, ladies. Well, what do you mean participate? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 is a commandment to all of the church. And this is in the context of singing. Ladies, you are commanded. You are expected. And we need you to sing. It brings great glory and honor to our God. And it brings such warmth and beauty to the song service. But what about in the context of prayer? You see, this morning as I stand before you, I tell you that there's only one during the course of a prayer who is leading. And what about the rest of us? What are we doing? We're all participants. Men and women alike. We bow our heads in prayer. As the one who stands before us leads us in prayer, we all participate in the assembly as we are guided in prayer before our God. According to the Scripture, there are some things that we need to consider, men, as we think in regard to praying before God. During the course of a worship service, there are various types of prayers that we pray, and we have what we identify as opening prayer for the opening of our service. As we assemble around the Lord's table, we will offer prayers on the behalf of ourselves, also in recognition of the loaf that symbolizes the broken body of Christ, as well as the fruit of the vine, which represents the blood that Jesus Christ shed for us. And we will pray, thanking God for this opportunity to remember Jesus, and also for the representation of these emblems that are placed before us. Also, though, there are times where we will have responses, where someone will come forward, and maybe they are already a member of the Lord's church, but yet at the same time they need the prayers of the faithful. And we will call upon our elders, or we may call upon someone else, or in the closing prayer, somebody might offer a prayer for a brother or sister who have been erring or dealing with situations in life. We offer multiple types of prayer as we come together. But also, let me give some words of caution. Guys, we need to be very careful about offering ritualistic prayers. Why? Because the Bible condemns such. You say, Kevin, what do you mean whenever you say ritualistic prayers? I'm not talking about practice prayers. I'm talking about the fact that in all of that, I believe that we need to practice. I believe that we need to think very closely to every word that we're going to say, and to make certain that we're able to communicate those things accurately, and that we're able to present those things well before the congregation. But good people, let us be very careful, men, as we stand before the congregation and cite a prayer that is just strictly by memory. I remember years ago when we were still living in Indiana, and my sister and her family had moved away for military. They had gone to South Dakota. They had moved then to North Carolina, and then they had moved to Alaska, where they still presently live. And in Alaska, they got involved in a very excellent congregation, still is, as is my understanding. And in all of that, as they had been away for several years, they came back finally, and that was a tragedy, not being able to see them, but every 4 to 7 years it seemed like. And they came home, and we just rejoiced with those opportunities and times to share with each other. And by this time that they've come home, I've actually started doing some preaching. And in that, I was preaching strictly from the King James Version of the Bible. Today, I use the New King James, as all of you are aware of. But in that, as I was called upon by my dad before we partook of the meal, my dad says, "Kevin, would you lead us in prayer?" And I said, "Sure, most certainly I will." And we bowed and we prayed. And when we finished, my brother-in-law looked up at me and he says, "Kevin, you even pray in King James." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Everything was a thee and a thou." He says, "Do you think about what you say and how you say it?" And brothers and sisters, this is at that time. And I'm not saying that thee and thou in prayer is a bad thing. But I'm saying we need to think about what we say and to be very personal and very real in our talk with God, individually as well as collectively with His people. And we need to be very careful also about being eloquent, making certain that we use $50 words that maybe somebody's not going to be able to understand, or that we are saying things that might bring attention to ourselves versus the focus of what it is that we need to be focusing upon. As we bow in prayer, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8, we understand that as we pray that we are to enter into the closet. And some guy trying to be sarcastic will say, "Does that mean you give me a microphone and I go back in the back?" No, that's not what God's saying. He says that we need to take the focus off of ourselves and make certain that the focus is always upon God. But also, let me caution us, guys, as we pray, to be very careful about being long-winded for the sake of, understand what I'm saying, for the sake of being long-winded. We can be just like those Pharisees who were pharisaical in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 14, who were long-winded for the sake of bringing the attention to themselves. As a gospel preacher, I pray that I have learned that the mind can only consume what the seat can endure. And certainly as we think in regard to our prayer service, is that there is indeed a need to pray to God and to make certain that we do not shorten God in regard to our prayers. But guys, as we pray, let us make certain that we pray in the context of what it is that we are praying, the prayer that we are offering. If we are opening the service, by all means, we ought to be praying that God will be with us through the service. If we are praying in remembrance of Christ at the Lord's table, then we need to reflect upon the emblems that are before us. If we are praying for the one who has responded, then we need to focus upon that one who has responded. And if we are closing in prayer, then we need to focus upon God and to say, "God, thank you for allowing us to come together." James Meadows, a few years ago, James over to school, he says, "Guys, it's amazing sometimes that whenever we open up in prayer, that we pray to God and we say, 'God, please be with us through our service this morning and please forgive us of our sins.'" And certainly we want to make certain that we're holy and right before God, and there's nothing at all wrong with praying for that. And James says, now let's also think about the closing prayer. He says, by the time that we finish out, then somebody else stands before us and says, "God, please forgive us if we have sinned against you during this time of which we've been together." Brethren, I hope that we don't sin while we're here. Amen. We need to think about what we're praying, the prayer that we're praying, and then we need to make certain we communicate those things to God on our behalf and on the behalf of the congregation. Things that we need to remember as we're praying to God. We are speaking to our Creator. We are speaking to the one to whom we love, to the one that has sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and to the one that we someday shall stand before in judgment. As we lead in prayer, men, let us think about this fact, but also let us understand that we are speaking and leading on the behalf of the congregation, on the behalf of the Lord's church. When we bow in prayer, isn't it wonderful to be able to pray to God? When we bow in prayer, men, lead us in a way that will be pleasing and acceptable to God. And in fact, I'm going to commend you. I think you do a great job. These are just words of thought from Scripture today that we certainly want to share. When we bow in prayer, every single one of us, let us bow and let us focus and think about our God and our Creator. If you're here today and you're outside of the body of Christ, we want to extend our Lord's invitation to you to have your sins washed away in the blood of Christ by accepting Christ, by confessing Jesus to be the Son of the living God, by submitting yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And God assures us that whenever you obey Christ in baptism, that your sins are forgiven, Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. And then whenever you are raised, that you are then raised a new creature, a new creation. To do what? To walk in newness of life.